The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, on this Wednesday, 13th day of June, 2018. Well, a little bit of sad news today. Gordon Martinez didn't make it past the primaries. And there's a good reason why. Because the Joe Lombardo got 75% of the votes. And if it was less than 50, then there'd be runoffs and all that other stuff. Well, guess what? It ain't happening. 75%. What the people of Clark County don't know about Joe Lombardo, and evidently don't want to know. So, which just entrenches me just to do even more against the enemy. You know, it is what it is. It was interesting, and this guy is not given to, let's say, wild-eyed conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat wearing, Paul Craig Roberts. His recent column, he's talking about a guy by the name of Ron Unz, U-N-Z. This is one of the best men of our time. He searches for truth and he supports others who do the same. In this article, he comes to the defense of David Irving, the best historian of the 20th century. Zionists destroyed David Irving's livelihood with slander and libel because he made public a letter from the former Chancellor of Germany, Hitler's predecessor to Winston Churchill, a letter that Irving found in the American publisher's file of Winston Churchill's History of the War, in which the publisher prevented Churchill from publishing in his history. The former Chancellor of Germany, who escaped the Nazis and lived in England, wrote to Churchill that two of Hitler's financiers were Jews who managed two of the largest banks in Germany. One was a Zionist leader. The letter exists, and there is no reason to doubt its honesty. However, for making an important historical document public, Irving was labeled by vicious propaganda campaign as being an anti-Semite or a Holocaust denier. Name-calling. You're hateful. You're anti-Semitic. That's it. You're shut down. End of story. Nothing to see here. Let's move on. Irving simply thought that he was being an historian. Another Irving honesty, the one that destroyed him, was that after 10 years of research, he could not find one document that provided evidence for the claim that Hitler personally conducted the Holocaust or that he even knew about it. Irving did not find and report documents that he made available. Irving did find and report documents that he made available in which Hitler issues orders prohibiting extermination of Jews. Being truthful does not make Irving a Hitler apologist. Now, Irving did not say that there was no Holocaust, only that things happen in governments just as they do in police forces. about which those in charge are not informed. I know for a fact that things happened during the Reagan administration of which the president was unaware. The history of World War II is incorrect. It is written in a way that serves the interest of those who prevailed. It glorifies the victors and demonizes the vanquished. As the old adage goes, the victors write the history. In other words, the history is self-serving, not accurate. Irving's histories are far more accurate than those written by court historians, and consequently the court historians teamed up the Zionists to smear and demonize the best historian of our time. The two Irving lectures that Ron Unz has located and included are worth the attention. Irving explains why history written by professors is essentially incorrect and why correct renditions are unacceptable to publishers and the ruling class. Wars are great producers of lies because propaganda is necessary to motivate soldiers to fight and ensure that populations accept the associated hardships. The use of history as propaganda prevents us from learning from history. Thus, we continue to make the same mistakes. That was written by Paul Craig Roberts. That's a major, for me, that's a major movement on Mr. Roberts' part. Because here is this ginormous boogeyman in the room, and nobody wants to talk about it. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because, well, you'll be labeled. You'll be ostracized. And those groups out there that know of you and know of what you speak may hide in a closet with their laptop with a light out, reading surreptitiously and carefully from their ensconced hidey hole. But when it comes down to it, if people say, "Are you associated with those people that are saying this?" they'll go, they'll do the no-necker, palms up, I don't know. I make careful note of those who are really after the true history of the world and what's going on right now and what's moving it. I watch them very closely. And there are some that are starting to come around. Folks, it's only been my message for over a quarter of a century. Now, do I find this particularly, encouraging? Somewhat verifying of my efforts? Somewhat. But the plain truth is, folks, that there are people that are afraid to expose the truth because they're afraid of what the truth haters will do to them. And that should be indication number one, you're on the wrong road when you're afraid to speak because there might be retribution for speaking what? The truth. Holy mackerel. What's it going to take? The imminent end of the world? Your last confession? Lying on a floor, maybe grabbing for your heart? Well, here's the big one. I guess I'm going out. Let me whisper in your ear and I'll tell you how I really feel. Well, too late. You're shuffling off the mortal coil. I honest to God, folks, I do not know. This is not a vendetta. This is just something I just didn't get stuck in my craw. You know, I tried many different ways to disprove what I was proving to be correct. And guess what? I ended up being correct. Kind of begrudgingly. Because it's kind of lonely out here all alone. It really is. But if alone I must be, alone I must stay. You know, we are social creatures, and sometimes we don't like to be ostracized and moved away from the group. But if this is where I must be, then this is where I must be. I will stand. And I will wait. And wait. And wait. Till things get so stinking bad that people will come and want to join the Truth Party. Hopefully, by that time, we'll have something left to save. It's pretty amazing. Now, along associated lines, and this comes from UNS.com, and thank you for writing this. I was recently asked, by the way, Mike, you didn't include the author in this one, so I'll have to go back to the original source on this. This was Philip Giraldi. He wrote this yesterday. And being on UNS.com, I'm reading the comments and the replies. Guess what? There's a lot of people that agree. He wrote this. He said, I was recently asked to speak in an online conference entitled Deep Truth, Encountering Deep State Lies. My panel addressed understanding Zionism, deconstructing the power paradigm, and my own topic was how Jewish power sustains the Israel narrative. Working on my presentation, I was forced to confront the evolution of my own views on both the corruption of government in the United States and the ability of power and powerful domestic lobbies to deliberate, or I'm sorry, let me back up here, smudge on screen, there we go, can read it now, deliberately distort the perception of national interest to benefit foreign countries, even when that activity does terrible damage to the U.S. And he admits, my personal journey began half a century ago. I became part of the U.S. national security state after being drafted for the Vietnam War when I graduated from college, and that was in 1968. I was at the time vaguely pro-war, having bought into the media argument that international communism was mounting a major threat in Southeast Asia. I also found the anti-war student movement distasteful because I was acquainted with many of its spokesmen and knew that they were chiefly motivated by the desire to avoid the draft, not due to any perception that the war itself was wrong or misguided. I knew a lot about the Punic Wars, but precious little about former French Indochina. And I suspect those chanting Ho 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 Chi Minh might have known even less than I did. Because I spoke some Russian, I wound up in an Army Intelligence Collection Unit in West Berlin for 3 years where I and my 50 or so comrades did absolutely nothing but drink and party. It was my introduction to how the government really works when it's not working at all. And it did provide me with the GI Bill money to go to grad school. After my PhD came, a relatively easy transition to CIA, given the fact that my degree was so obscure that no one but government would hire me. The journey from an Army unit that was asleep at the wheel to the CIA, which was in full downsizing crisis mode post-Vietnam, was educational. Whereas the Army was too bloated and complacent to even fake it, the agency was fully capable of creating crisis and then acting like the defender of American interests as it worked to resolve the various situations that it invented. The war against Eurocommunism, which I was engaged in, was hyped and billed as the next great threat against American way of life. After the Vietnam blunder, swallowing up resources pointlessly, as neither France nor Spain nor Italy ever came close to entering the red orbit. As I climbed up the CIA ladder, I also noticed something else. There was the equivalent of a worldwide conspiracy to promote threats to keep big national security-based government well-funded and in place. When I was in Turkey, I began to note considerable intelligence liaison reporting coming from the Israelis and others promoting their own agendas. The material was frequently fictional in nature, but the danger was that it was being mixed in with more credible reporting, which gave it traction. U.S. government consumers of reporting would inevitably absorb the dubious viewpoint being promoted that Arabs and Iranians were fundamentally untrustworthy and were in bed with the Soviets. There was considerable negative reporting on Saddam Hussein, also coming out of Israel and motivated by its support of the Palestinians. Wow. Some of this ultimately surfaced in the Pentagon's Paul Wolfowitz, Doug Feith assessments of intelligence that had been missed, which eventually became pretext for the catastrophic Iraq War. I later learned that both Feith and Wolfowitz had a virtual revolving door of Israeli intelligence officials and diplomats running through their Pentagon offices leading up to the war. It didn't take much to connect the dots and realize that Israel, far from being a friend and ally, was the principal catalyst for the many missteps that the United States has made in the Middle East. U.S. policy in the region was being deliberately shaped around Israel's concerns by American Jews ensconced in the Pentagon and White House, who certainly knew exactly what they were doing. No one should blame the Israelis for acting in their own self-interest, but every loyal American should blame the Libbys and the Feiths and the Wolfowitzes and their willingness to place Israeli interest ahead of those of their own country. After my departure from government, in part over my disagreement with the Iraq War, this willingness to place the United States in peril to serve the interest of a foreign country began to bother me. And there is no country that manipulates the U.S. government better or more persistently than Israel. I gradually became involved with those who were pushing back against the Israeli lobby, though it was not generally referred to in those terms before Stephen Walt and John Mearsheimer produced their seminal work, The Israeli Lobby and the U.S. Foreign Policy, back in 2006. It does not take a genius to figure out that the United States is deeply involved in a series of seemingly endless wars, pitting it against predominantly Muslim nations, even though Washington has no vital interests at stake in places like Syria or Libya or Iraq. Who is driving the process and benefiting? Israel is clearly the intended beneficiary of a coordinated effort mounted by more than 600 Jewish organizations in the U.S. that have, at least in part, of their programs, the promotion and protection of Israel. Now, ironically, organizations that promote the interests of foreign governments are supposed to be registered under the Foreign Agents Registration Act of 1938. But not a single pro-Israeli organization has ever done so, nor even been seriously challenged on the issue, a tribute to their power in dealing with the federal government. Those who are in the driver's seat of the Israeli promotion process are what some would describe as the Israeli lobby, but which I would prefer to call a subset of the Jewish lobby, which in itself is supported by something I would designate Jewish power. An aggregate of Jewish money, control over key aspects of the media and entertainment industries, plus an easy access to corrupted politicians desirous of positive press and campaign donations. This penetration and control of the public discourse has resulted in the creation of what I would refer to as the official Israeli narrative, in which Israel, which claims perpetual victimhood, is reflexively referred to as the only democracy in the Middle East, and Washington's closest ally and friend. Assertions that are completely false, but which have been aggressively and successfully promoted to shape how Americans view the Israeli-Arab conflict. Palestinians resisting the Israeli occupation are invariably described as being terrorists, both in the U.S. and in Israel. Jewish power is a funny thing. If you read the Jewish media or the Israeli press, to include the Forward, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, Haaretz, or the Jerusalem Post, you will find frequent references to it, nearly always seen as completely laudable. Bottom feeder Professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard recently boasted that Jews should not apologize for being so rich, controlling the media, or influencing public debate. They have earned it. Never apologize for using your strength. Thank you, Alan. I always knew you were a dirtbag, and you just reconfirmed my suspicions. See, this is the one that old AJ didn't dare go up against. What was that program, that English dude there that... Gosh, can't remember his name right off the bat. And you can't either. I don't feel so alone. The one that was thrown off the English paper for lying. We'll think about it during the break. We'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't
All
shine.
Right. Extended break there for the board out. You know, I can't jump on the other side of the wall here. How can you be in two places at once and not be anywhere at all? Pierce Morgan is the guy I was trying to think of. And if that would have been me on that program about the Second Amendment, I would have been very clear, very succinct about it and the need to maintain the Second Amendment. Armed citizenry of respective countries pretty much remain free when a government tries to take over. That's the whole point of the gun confiscation, to make you a subject. And you will have a choice at that time, being disarmed. You can either comply or resist. And the things for the resistors, I don't even want to think about. So, yeah, let's make a fool out of myself and get off the program. When Alan Dershowitz was set to occupy the studio as well, with the aforementioned. And that didn't happen, did it? No, it didn't. I would have loved a crack at Alan Dershowitz, the regarded Harvard attorney. The light of the truth can't stand the light of day, folks. I mean, and it's searing. It's 100 times brighter for the people that want to lie and subjugate and terrorize and conquer. They just can't handle the truth. They can't stand the light of day. They can try. They can deflect. They can derail. They can sidetrack. They can do. And I'm used to all those little tricks. You ever notice a politician when he's asking an uncomfortable question when the microphones and the cameras are rolling? Ask a serious question, he'll deflect and move on to his agenda and what he wants to talk about. That's exactly what I would have done to Alan Dershowitz. You know, and every time I look at Alan, I think of what my mother told me. Johnny, stay away from people that their eyes look like two piss holes in the snow, because they truly are the windows of the soul. Now, there's accomplished liars out there who can look straight at you, lie to you unblinkingly and convincingly. But there are those that are not real good at it. Whether it's fear of being caught or discredited or exposed or whatever the case may be. Not everybody is perfect at being a pathological liar. At any rate, for many Jews like Dershowitz, Jewish power is something to be proud of, but they also believe that it should never be noticed or examined by non-Jews. Gentile criticism of Jewish collective behavior is something that must continue to be forbidden. Just as the expression Israeli lobby was largely taboo before Walt and Mearsheimer, Israeli partisans regularly engage in the defamation of characters, including myself, who do not conform to the taboos as anti-Semites or Holocaust deniers. Labels deliberately used as weapons to end discussion and silence critics whenever necessary. So why do I think that we have to start talking about Jewish power as opposed to the euphemism Israeli lobby? It is because the wars in the Middle East, which have done so much damage, the United States, and were at least in part arranged to benefit Israel, have been largely driven by wealthy and powerful Jews. If America goes to war with Iran, as is increasingly likely, it will be all about Israel and will be arranged by the political and financial services on the Washington Wall Street axis. Make no mistake. To my mind, Israel is America's number one foreign policy problem in that it is able and willing to start potentially catastrophic wars with countries that it is demonized but that do not threaten the U.S. And those doing the manipulating are bipartisan Jewish oligarchs with deep pockets that support the multitude of pro-Israel organizations, think tanks, and media outlets that have done so much to corrupt America's political process. Hollywood producer Chaim Sabin, a principal Democratic Party supporter, has said that he is a one-issue guy, and that issue is Israel. Principal GOP funder casino magnate Sheldon Adelson, who served in the U.S. Army in World War II, has said that he regrets that service and would have preferred to be in the Israeli Defense Forces. They, as well as others, including fund manager Paul Singer and Home Depot's Bernard Marcus, are Jews laboring on behalf of the self-proclaimed Jewish state, while the neoconservatives, fiercely protected of Israel, are also nearby, asserting that the fact that they are Jews acting for a Jewish state should be irrelevant, as they're also doing what is good for America, as commonly done by their apologists, is logically inconsistent and borders on absurdity. As for the frequently cited Bible Belt Christian Zionists who support Israel, they are, to be sure, numerous, but they do not have access to real power in the United States that Jews have. A little more on this when we get back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Jewish power is also what has, in part, driven the United States into a moral cesspit. Israeli snipers shoot dead scores of unarmed Gazan demonstrators, and hardly anybody in Washington has anything to say about it. America's ambassador to Israel, an Orthodox Jewish lawyer named David Friedman, who has multiple ties to Israel's illegal settlements, uses his position to defend Israel, ignoring U.S. interest. Last week, he held a press conference in which he told reporters to shut their mouths in their criticism of Israel's slaughter of Gazans. When a young Palestinian nurse is deliberately targeted and killed while treating a wounded man, it hardly appears in the U.S. media. Arab teenagers are shot in the back while running away from Israeli gunmen, while a young woman is sentenced to prison for slapping an Israeli soldier who had just shot her cousin and was invading her home. Heavily armed Israeli settlers run amok on the West Bank, beating and killing Arabs and destroying their livelihoods. That is what Israel and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are all about, and that is precisely the kind of nation that America should not want to become. But unfortunately, the role of Washington as Israel's obedient poodle has our once great country moving in the wrong direction. This has all been brought about by Jewish power, and it's time to wake up to the fact and address it squarely. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the absolute truth. But like I said, even though there are people that may recognize this and quietly, you know, agree with you, very quietly, to the point of they will not voice a supporting position or saying, you know what, I think they have this one right. If it even looks like they're in support of at least, at bare minimum, acknowledging, you know, some truth is being told over here, the fear is being ostracized, being attacked for being anti-Semitic or some such nonsense. You know, to the other yarmulke-wearing group, you know, have you ever heard me going wild bashing things about Catholics? Am I fully aware of what the Catholic Church does in protecting? This is tough to even talk about, even consider. But are children being used and abused by Catholic priests? Now, that's a well-known fact. But how often do you hear it discussed openly in public? But still the news stories will come out about it. But nobody will use it as talking points or anything else. But have you ever heard me bash somebody because they're a Roman Catholic? No. Any more than I will bash a Jew for being Jewish. But what I will go after, and what I will continue to do, is expose those that are of the Zionist bent, of those that are manipulating and lying and using. I mean, what is it going to take? This is why it was so distressing when I see Donald Trump snuggling up to Bibi Netanyahu, or Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, over there making deals in Israel. Now, there's another guy I'll put in the classification of the two piss holes in the snow. You ever looked at Kushner's eyes? Is this a guy that you would trust? I certainly wouldn't. And will not. There's an agenda afoot here, and I can smell it from here. And those that refuse to acknowledge that, the worse things get, they're going to have to change their position or pack up their stuff and get off the airwaves. And of course, there is benefit here, folks. Even Bernie Sanders. Yes, I know. The self-avowed socialist that didn't even want to run as a Democrat. Maybe he should have. He would have given Donald Trump a better run for his money, I think. Even Bernie said the United States is fighting terrorism in 76 different countries. Let me pull this up and see if I can get the timestamp correctly here. Let me see where I need to go here. 12:22. Ready, Mikey, on the pot there? Oops. Uh-oh. This posted up, but Mike, come here. Take a look at this. This posted up, but this is what I got. I can't even get to the right side of that. It's way too big for the screen. Can you go up to this story? No, hit at the 12:22 mark. Does anybody look at these once they post them up? Because you can't click it on and just go directly to YouTube on it either. It's kind of frustrating. Double click the whole thing. There we go. Thank you. Well, that should come with a little instructions, and I'll do. All right. You ready? I'm coming.
Nation on to have war against weren't even invented until after 9/11. So here, he'll talk about it.
Republican and Democrat as a blank check for the president to wage war without congressional consent or oversight. Meanwhile, we are currently, quote unquote, fighting terrorism in some 76 countries.
76 countries. And why do you suppose that is? Because for 16 years, we have been killing people that pose no actual direct threat to the United States of America. Four million dead and counting, folks. And nobody in this damn media in this country will utter a word about it. In the meantime, what are you fed? Oh, major distractions. Oh, the Trump-Russia collusion. Still, to this day, droning on by the liars. Those that wish to deceive by way of deception. $4 million and counting. $4 million dead Middle Easterners. $4 million of them, folks. So how then easy is it to create the fear in the American people's hearts? We're over there fighting for democracy. We're fighting for people's freedom. No, we're not. We're fighting for their destruction. We're fighting against them, and we are killing them. Mr. Trump, you want to make America great again? Walk the hell away from Israel. And I don't give a damn how many nuclear weapons they have. If the Arab countries, what's left of them in the Middle East, absent the support of the United States and its billions of dollars every year and unceasingly amount of military hardware and our ability to go fight the bad guys on behalf of the Israeli people, the Zionist, let me say, do you think Israel would stand? I don't know. But I do know one thing. If the United States had not been involved in the Middle East for 16 years, I can guarantee you one thing, there'd be a hell of a lot less dead people over there. I would invite you to go on our site and take a look. There is a story up there about what Syria looks like now. And the visual proof, folks, is something that strikes to the core of anybody, to their common sense. Go to the story, Libya before and after. The photos have gone viral around the world. And this is a Libyan man who took photos of himself posing at various spots across Benghazi in 2000. He revisited the same location 18 years later to photograph life under the new NATO-liberated Libya. And the before and after pics showing the utter devastation of post-Qaddafi Libya have gone viral, garnering 50,000 retweets after they were posted to an account that features historical images of Libya under Qaddafi's rule between 1969 and 2011. It appears people still do not care about Libya, even if the political elites in Paris, London, and Washington, who destroyed the country, have moved on. Though we should recall that British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson was caught on tape in private meeting last year saying that Libya was ripe for UK investment, but only after Libyans clear the dead bodies away. Story goes on to say, we previously detailed in Libya's slave auctions and African genocide what Hillary knew and how Libya went from being a stable, modernizing secular state to a hellhole of roving jihadist militias, warring rival governments, and open-air slave auctions of captured migrants. Yet what the viral photos confirm is that Libya was once a place of sprawling hotels, wide and clean city streets, functioning infrastructure, and lively neighborhoods. But these very places are now bullet-ridden ruins rotting amidst the political backdrop of the Mad Max-style chaos, unleashed immediately after the U.S. NATO's bombing the country into regime change. Hillary still says that she has no regrets even after Obama timidly voiced a half-hearted and a too-little-too-late Libya mea culpa of sorts in 2016. Though Hillary's beloved Libyan rebels, it was Al-Qaeda, folks, that which we funded and supplied and grew like mushrooms in a dark, dark, dang place. Legitimized and empowered through broad support from the West, are now among the very militias hosting slave auctions and fueling the European refugee crisis. She's never so much as hinted that regime change in Libya left the country and much of the region in shambles. Instead, she simply chose to conclude her role in this tragic story of Libya with her crazed and gleeful declaration, "We came, we saw, he died." I mean, right up until the eve of NATO's air campaign against the Libyan state, international media outlets understood and acknowledged the country's high human development rankings, though it later became inconvenient to present the empirical data. Currently considered to be at emergency levels of need prior to NATO intervention, Libya was not even on the World Food Program's radar, yet is now considered a dire humanitarian disaster zone. Among the few editorials written in major Western publications in the midst of NATO's war on Libya, warning of consequences to come in real time, was a 2011 piece titled The Telegraph by Brendan O'Neill. Though apparently now scrubbed from the internet, no longer exists on the Telegraph site or its archives, the narcissism of the iPad imperialist who wanted to invade Libya by Brendan O'Neill. 25 February 2011. It's gone. It's gone from the internet. It's gone from the Telegraph site. The article preserved and quoted extensively in a book, Slouching Towards CIRT, I guess you, this is S-I-R-T-E, NATO's War on Libya and Africa, which contains essential summary context laying out the role that international media played in 2011 and after in lying the public into war. You know, folks, I mean, honestly, let me ask you a question here. I'm being serious. You have had loved ones die, haven't you? Have you not? You've had a mother or a father, maybe both of them die. Maybe your parents have watched one of your siblings die. And you know what the parents always say? That I expect to be gone long before my children die. Or you've had a neighbor or a friend die, and you understand the sorrow. How can we be responsible for killing 4 million people and nobody in this country sheds a tear? Nobody. And we see on a daily basis the neocons entrenched, joined at the hip with the Zionists that pretty much want to destroy anything Arab in the Middle East, anything Islamic. Folks, do you remember there was a day that you didn't hear about terror attacks or bombings, suicide bombers, IEDs, people being blown to bits? Do you remember those days you didn't hear those reports? Do you remember? I do. And still to this day, no one will say what the true mission that is ongoing and still killing people in the Middle East, they will not say what the mission is.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
From O'Neill's book, Excerpts, The Narcissism of the iPad Imperialists Who Want to Invade Libya. This is relevant as ever, by the way, when it comes to the West's continuing role in Libya, or in places like Syria, Yemen, or Afghanistan. In part, it says, in a modern political sphere that has had its fair share of narcissists and ignoramuses, no one is quite as narcissistic or ignorant as the liberal interventionist. From the comfort of his home countries, possibly to the sounds of birds tweeting on their windowsills, the liberal interventionist will write furious, spittle-stained articles about the need to invade faraway countries in order to topple their dictators. as casually and thoughtlessly as the rest of us would write out a shopping list. He will pen a 10-point plan for the bombing of Yugoslavia or Afghanistan or Iraq and not give a second's thought to the potentially disastrous consequences. Now, having learned nothing from the horrors that they cheer-led like excitable teenage girls over the past 15 years, these bohemian bombers, these latte-sipping lieutenants, these iPad imperialists are back. This time, they're demanding the invasion of Libya. In The Guardian, Ian Burrell brushes aside the 8-year nightmare of Iraq in one sentence. "We shouldn't be scared of the foolishness of Iraq invasion," he says, as he calls the international community to spearhead a rapid intervention to save the people of Libya. It's like an apocalyptic Hollywood film. "And there are even rumors of systematic male rape," he says, proving once again that there's no situation so bad that it cannot be made to sound even worse by hacks seeking to emotionally blackmail NATO into dropping a couple of tons of bombs. Over at Slate, a headline sums up the outlook of Libya-concerned liberals. "It's time to intervene. Apparently, world leaders can send a message to the broader Arab world by getting a grip on the Libyan crisis now. Before the region descends into protracted civil conflict, the international community has the opportunity in Libya to set an important precedent and save thousands of lives in the process." Meanwhile, a gaggle of human rights groups is calling on the UN and the EU to intervene to protect Libyan civilians from government killings. The ignorance of liberal interventionists is captured in the fact that they seem to have willfully forgotten the disastrous interventions of the past 15 years, all of which, from Yugoslavia to Afghanistan to Iraq, exacerbated local tensions and led to more, not less, bloodshed. It takes a special kind of arrogance to be able to demand yet another international military venture when the terrible consequences of your last one are still plain to see. And their narcissism is contained in the fact that the real reason that they're making these demands for war is to make themselves feel good, to demonstrate that they care with a capital C. They know nothing of the countries they want to see invaded and care little about the potential of such invasions to destabilize things even further. No, all that matters is saying that forget Iraq, now let's attack Gaddafi. They can publicly demonstrate their own immorality. And folks, the way they're getting away with this inside the United States is simply by not officially declaring a war. You see, this has been upgraded or downgraded, depending on your viewpoint. Oh, this is a war on terrorism. And we've got to take down these evil, terrible regimes. You know, the ones that don't have any nuclear weapons that couldn't retaliate if they wanted to. Congress has abrogated its one of its primary responsibilities, that if you're going to attack a sovereign nation and dead people are going to be left in its wake, that you must make an open declaration of war and call it such. Not a war on terrorism.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.